Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the first one for the new year of 2016, and still the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Happy New Year to you. This is podcast number 43. And as the new year opens, it's always a time to look both backward and forward. So let's spend a little time doing both today. I've also got an interview for you with an up-and-coming young author that I talked with just before the Christmas holidays. I'll share that with you at the end of the podcast. So let's look back. If you take a look at my website's book page, and that's narrationbygeorge.com/books, you're going to find a plethora of audiobooks available to you. There are 5 nonfiction entries, 3 of which are devotionals, a classic literature selection, 6 action-adventure books set in present day, 4 westerns, 2 fantasy settings, 2 sci-fi offerings, 2 historical settings, 3 holiday or Christmas settings, 2 mysteries, 8 books on romance and life, a young adult offering, and 5 books of poetry. That's 40 books in all that I've produced. A lot of different choices out of a lot of different genres. However, distribution has become a bit of a problem. It takes me to the looking ahead portion of the program. I've been privileged to work with a great publisher in Helping Hands Press, and I hope to continue to do so. But for reasons which I cannot go into on this podcast, the Helping Hands Press bookstore, which distributed many of these books, has been taken down. There is hope for a new store to be available in the spring, so we wait for that. In the meantime, you're going to hear from me as I talk about the books which are available to you right now and the books which are in the plans for the coming year. So let's look forward. What's coming? Well, I've been promising a production of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes mysteries. The project was put on the back burner in 2015. It's now moving to the front burner for 2016. So look for releases of Doyle's books, starting with his first one, A Study in Scarlet, sometime in February. As time permits, I'll also be selecting other classic literature to present to you. And along with the classic stories of Doyle and these others, I'm in conversation with some contemporary authors about producing their books for audio as well. Those possibilities will remain under wraps for now until final agreements are reached. But the one item which is most exciting for me, and ultimately probably will be for you as a listener in 2016, is this. Narration by George products will be available in a wider range of websites and stores than ever before. I've entered an agreement with an audiobook distributor, which allows me to access a number of different web-based audiobook stores. For instance, as of this podcast, my version of A Christmas Carol is available on Audible.com, Audiobooks.com, as well as CD Baby and in the iTunes Store. In the future, you'll see distribution through other channels as well. And when you check my webpage, and that's narrationbygeorge.com/books, each book's page will give you the sources from which you can purchase that book. Another exciting part of 2016 is to be able to offer you some works by some new authors. And one of those authors was a part of our holiday giveaway last month in December. Donna Patton is still a college student, but already an aspiring author. I produced her narration of her book, A Christmas Miracle, for giveaway in December. By the way, the book is still available to be listened to on my website. Go to narrationbygeorge.com/books, scroll down to the Christmas books, and click on A Christmas Miracle. I talked with Donna about her book and her aspirations as a writer, and about her story prior to the Christmas holiday.
Well, hello, Donna. Welcome to the Narration by George podcast. We're glad to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. This is such an honor.
My pleasure. Tell us who you are. Tell us about you.
Well, I am living in Rock Island, Tennessee, which is about 30 minutes from McMinnville, Tennessee. I don't know how many of your listeners know where that is, but I've lived there all my life with my parents and my two older siblings. Both of them are married now, and my mother still lives in town, but my sister lives in Birmingham, Alabama, with her husband and their two kids, so I am a senior in college, hoping to graduate from Tennessee Tech this spring with a BA in English and a concentration in dramatic arts. So that's just a little bit about me. And so my favorite hobbies are listening to music, watching movies, and, of course, writing stories. So.
Okay. The college you're going to, Tennessee Tech.
Yes.
You've been there how long?
I've been there for 2.5 years now.
Okay.
And before that, I went to Motlow Community College in McMinnville for about 3 years.
Okay. All right.
So technically, I've been in college for about 5.5 years.
All right. So you're close to wrapping up, right?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I am.
And what do you plan to do once you wrap up?
Well, I am hoping to try to get some of my stories published and try to find a place where I can work in, like, community theater or something like that on the side so that I can make my writing my main source of income.
Okay. All right. Tell us about this story we've produced. It's called A Christmas Miracle. Where'd the inspiration come from?
Well, the inspiration came from the fact that I just enjoyed Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol so much. And I was thinking about the idea of what it would be like to have a female Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, somebody of the female demographic who detested the holidays. But as I was talking with my mom about it last Christmas, she told me that it would be better to come up with my own idea where the female protagonist would have a reason to hate the holidays, but there would be a different specific reason, as it were. And instead of being visited by the three goats of past, present, and future, she's given the chance to redeem herself thanks to someone else seeing the potential in her. And that's where this little boy comes in.
Okay.
The story.
You created a character that fit 19th century London and
yes.
And gave her own reasons for despising Christmas that were really they would be unique to a female, and they would be unique to a female in that particular culture.
That's right.
Without spilling the beans, give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of the story.
The initial rundown of the story is that Caroline Roberts is the kind of woman that other women look at her and tell their daughters, "I want you to be like her." She's sort of a role model for young females by the fact that she is kind and she is giving and she distributes Christian values in the way that she treats other people and not just... So she's the kind of person that talks the talk and walks the walk,
okay.
If you will.
Is she based on anybody you know?
Well, in a way, she is kind of based on my own mom because that's kind of the way she is.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the way that she acts toward other people and also the fact that she gives out... her famous sourdough bread for free. And
it is famous, yeah. And it's really good.
It is. And that, in a sense, kind of gave me the inspiration for who I wanted Caroline to be. But she's also based a little bit on myself as well, because when I look at Caroline, I sort of see what I would be like if I was a married woman with children. And so, yeah, it's a combination of those two. But anyway, back to the thumbnail of the story. When she experiences the tragedy of her young son, Frederick, dying on Christmas Eve, after he has been buried, she decides to give up celebrating the holidays. And not only does she do that, but she gives up being the Christian woman that she has always been. And she becomes extremely distant with other people and even her husband. And her husband, Clint, is just standing by watching this happen to her throughout the next year. And he wishes that there was something he could do to save her. But alas, she will not go to him. She's very skeptical about talking about Frederick's death and what it has done to her. And it's not until the following year on Christmas Eve, when he's about to go to a party, when he finds out the reason why she will not celebrate the holiday and why she detests it so much. And so he finally just gives up and says, all right, fine, you know, I'll go out and have a good time while you stay here and wallow in self-pity. So yeah, that's basically what the story is about. It's about Caroline finding her way back to being the woman that she was before, and also rekindling her love for the Christmas holiday and what it truly means.
Okay.
Here's a segment from her story, A Christmas Miracle.
When the funeral ceremony was over, they were the only ones that remained standing in front of Frederick's grave. Caroline placed her bouquet of flowers on the grave and said, her fingertips running over her son's name engraved in the stone, "Goodbye, Frederick. We shall miss you. Christmas will never be the same without the sound of your sweet laughter ringing in the air. I will never celebrate Christmas again." Cliff put his arm around her shoulders and said, hoping to reassure her,
"Darling, you can't think that way. Christmas is a wonderful time to spend with friends and family."
Caroline shrugged his arm off and snapped, "I won't celebrate a holiday that brings back the horrible memories of this terrible day. From now on, I refuse to celebrate Christmas ever again." Then she sighed and said, "I'm tired. Let's go home." With that, she turned on her heel and walked away. Cliff followed after her as they made their way to the carriage to head home. In the months that followed Frederick's death, Caroline became a different person than who she was before. All of her friends tried to come see her, but she refused to see any of them. Caroline stopped giving to the poor and destitute and would not allow any of them into her home. She became incredibly distant with her husband and other family members. She even stopped going to church, as she felt as though the human race had betrayed her. Caroline believed that it was not the disease that killed her son. It was the doctor who didn't treat him in time. Caroline felt as though she could not trust anyone in this world. Soon December came around once more, but Caroline stayed true to her word about not celebrating the holiday. Part of the house was not decorated, a large meal was not being prepared by the servants, and she didn't even bother with buying gifts for her friends and family. Cliff, on the other hand, had managed to make it through the grief of Frederick's death, and celebrated Christmas with a cheerful attitude. He managed to decorate the house and bought gifts for everyone he knew. It was Christmas Eve, and one of Caroline's friends was throwing her annual Christmas party at her home. Cliff had just finished getting ready and headed down the hallway, where he found Caroline in Frederick's bedroom, sitting beside the bed. Cliff folded his arms over his chest and asked,
"Are you sure you don't want to go with me tonight?"
Caroline didn't take her eyes off the bed and said, "I'm not in the mood, Cliff. I already told you that I'm not going." Cliff asked,
"What has happened to you, Caroline? Why have you allowed this to happen?"
Caroline stood up and exclaimed, "I cannot partake in a holiday that spreads love and joy to others when I have lost my son. Without him, I have no reason to celebrate." Cliff walked over to her and gently placed his hands on her shoulders.
"That's not true. You still have me, and we could try to have another child. There's still time."
Caroline looked into his eyes and said coldly, "How dare you suggest that we could just replace our son? It's too late for us to have more children." Cliff said,
"Caroline, please come with me. Get out of the house and get some fresh air for a while. see some of your old friends, eat some good food, listen to some beautiful carols. It will do you some good. Frederick would hate to see you like this. He would want you to enjoy the holiday, whether he was here or not.
Without saying a word, Caroline released herself from his grip and walked over to the window where she could see snow gently falling from the gray clouds above. Cliff sighed deeply and said, feeling defeated,
"All right, if that's how you feel, I'm going without you. However, I will say this. All I want for Christmas is to have my wife back the way she was before our son died. I will be back before midnight. Don't wait up."
Putting on his coat, Cliff walked out of the room, leaving Caroline alone. She listened as she heard the front door shut downstairs and the sound of the carriage heading off down the road. Caroline just stood there by the window, watching the snow fall to the ground while it covered everything in a blanket of white. Then she looked over at Frederick's old bed and sat down on the edge of it. Wrapping her arms around herself, she broke down into tears.
You notice I hope that Donna was the narrator of this story. Since she is the author as well as an actress, I thought that that would be a good combination. I asked her about this narration experience.
You actually narrated this story for us.
I did.
That was your first time to narrate a story of this nature. Tell us about
it. Well, I got to say, the whole narration experience was incredible. I didn't realize that so much work goes into just narrating a simple piece like that. I can now see why narrators of other longer audiobooks that are like of classic literature, why they have so much to do and so much work to do as far as that's concerned, because it's just, it's really something. But at the same time, I loved the idea of getting into character as a narrator. I sort of imagine a similar narrator like you would picture, like a woman sitting by the fireplace with her friends and family and saying, "Hey, let me tell you the story of how one person found the ability to love the Christmas holidays again." And that was the kind of feeling that I got from narrating the story with the accent that I was trying to do, which was British. I don't know how well I did on that, but...
you did well. You did well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But that was the kind of feeling that I got from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This, somebody who was just so excited to tell those that she knew about this story.
Okay.
Getting to be the narrator was so much fun. And of course, playing the part of Caroline was a lot of fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a fun character to play. And I guess not only that, and not only because, you know, I was the one who wrote the story, but because I was able to get back into touch with the emotions that were running through my head when I wrote this story.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of hopelessness and sadness and grief and anger and just all those emotions and just getting into touch with those. And then finally, the uplifting hopefulness that comes toward the end of the story.
We want to emphasize that the end of the story is very upbeat. It ends on a hopeful, good Christmas note that is positive and encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want people to take away from the story, Donna?
Well, I want people to take away from the fact that Christmas is not about the tree or the decorations or the gifts even. It's about being with those that you love and being able to share God's love and to experience that not just at Christmas, but every single day of the year. Because I feel like we're living in a world where we're getting away from that. And I want to be able to bring that back into people's homes and to bring that message in very clearly with this story. And not only that, but to also show people that no matter how difficult life gets and whatever tragedy comes your way, God will always see you through them, no matter what.
One of the principal missions that Narration by George has is to spread the Word of God and the love of God through this art form we call audiobooks. And your book fits very nicely into that category, so I thank you for it.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to have this brought out as an audiobook, and I want to thank you for helping me bring this story to life as well. Without your help, this never would have been possible.
It was great fun.
It most certainly was.
I also asked her about future projects she might be working on. Of course, she's busy with schoolwork now, but look for some stuff later this year from her. Here's what she had to say. So what else you got in the works?
Well, I've got plenty of other projects in the works at the moment. There's actually one story that your readers might be interested in that is close to being finished. It's called Our Talents from God Above, and it's a Christian romance between a 19th century lawyer who wants to be a painter, but he falls in love with an American violinist. And not only the fact that they both come from different social classes, but the fact that he was raised as a Catholic and she was raised as a Protestant. So they both have those two things working against them.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but the main character's father is very, he's very disproving of the fact that his son is friends and also falling in love with this young woman who happens to be a Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
But the main character, Alex, he eventually realizes that there's something, there's a dark secret that his father has been keeping, but I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
But again, this is another story that I hope, it will have a happy ending, and I hope it'll give people an opportunity to see what God's grace can do for all of us, no matter where we come from, depending on social status or what religious background we have. And then there's plenty of others that are also in the works, but they are still unfinished at the moment. But mm-hmm. Hopefully I will get around to finishing them sometime in the near future.
Okay. Donna, thank you for taking some time with us. We appreciate that. And,
well, thank you.
We look forward for more stories from Donna Patton of Tennessee Tech University as she graduates and goes on to writing full time. What an ambition.
It is. It's great. I'm really looking forward to see what the future has in store for me.
I understand. Look forward to seeing that, too. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Well, that's our time for this week's podcast. Hope you'll join us again next week when we delve into some spiritual ideas. I want to share a lesson from my home church again. This is one entitled Upside Down Blessings. And while it revolves around the Christmas season, like Donna said, this season is applicable to us all year long. So join me next Wednesday for this special blessing. In the meantime, God has blessed you. Share that blessing with others. See you next week.